Chapter 32. Bound for Caliban. Ultramar. The Dark Angels' withdrawal from Macragge Civitas was as swift as their arrival. The skies above the city were crisscrossed by flights of shuttles and gunships, dropping from orbit and returning in a constant relay. Just 5 hours after the spectacle at the Legatus Collegius, Holguin and his warriors assigned to the castrum were to be the last to depart. He drew up the Deathwing veterans in straight ranks, determined to leave with dignity and honour. For all that blame for the events in Illyrium had been laid upon the Lion, Holguin held Redlos and the Dreadwing as the guilty parties. He had spent many hours examining the vox logs recorded during the campaign, and there was ample reason to suspect Farith had looked for ways to excite resistance and inflate the conflict for his own ends. A tread close by caused Holguin to turn sharply, hand moving to the hilt of his longsword. He relaxed when he saw that it was Drakus Gorod. A step behind the Invictus commander was Ascalon, his injured arm encased in a mess of pipes and metal splints that Holguin knew signalled a recent bionic attachment.
"I wish that our acquaintance had been under better circumstances," said Holguin.
He extended a hand of brotherhood, not sure if the other would accept it, but feeling the gesture had to be made.
"I would have you at my shoulder in any battle," said Gorod, grasping the proffered hand. "Do not suffer under the condemnation levelled at others." "I do not."
Holguin released his grip and looked at Gorod and Ascalon.
"You may judge my liege how you wish, but know that he has always been loyal. If he overstepped his bounds, it is not out of treachery, but misguided determination. You will need steel in your hearts to do what must be done next. I do not know what lies ahead for me and my brothers, but you carry the hope and future of mankind with you."
"If you see Horus," Ascalon said, "be sure to kill him for me."
"I will," said Holguin.
He turned on his heel and snapped out the command that set his warriors marching down the corridor. He followed behind in step, ignoring the dark glances and dirty looks directed at his company by the menials and servants they passed. Ever since their arrival, they had been welcome only in word, not deed. Now it seemed the populace of the castrum were brave enough to show their displeasure, as though sneering from behind the cloaks of Gilliman and Sanguinius. A stormbird waited for them. Without ceremony, the last representatives of the Dark Angels left Macragge Civitas. The journey to the Invincible Reason took less than an hour. The fleet was already breaking orbit around the flagship, dozens of cruisers, battle barges and support vessels moving towards the Mandeville Point for the jump into warp space. Arriving aboard the Primarch's vessel, Holguin was met by a serf with a message that he was to attend the Lion in his private chamber. Dismissing the Deathwing, formally renouncing his temporary command of the Brotherhood, Holguin quickly made his way to his Primarch's quarters. The Lion sat upon his throne, his black armour showing the signs of recent battle, the black and gold much scuffed and chipped. The Primarch held the two pieces of the broken Lion sword in his lap, his gaze distant. Holguin came to attention before his liege and banged a fist to his chest in salute.
"It is done?"
asked the Lion.
"Yes, my liege."
Silence followed. Holguin wondered if he was dismissed, but would not speak until invited. Eventually, the Lion held out the pieces of the broken blade.
"Take care of these," he said.
Holguin took them and returned to his place. It seemed the Lion would be no more forthcoming, and Holguin risked a question.
"What happens now, my liege?"
"You will receive orders soon enough, little brother," said the Lion, and with those words Holguin knew he was no longer required.
He saluted again and left the Lion to his thoughts. When Holguin had gone, the Lord of the First Legion sat as he so often sat, leaning back in his ornate throne of ivory and obsidian. His elbows rested upon the throne's sculpted arms, while his fingers were steepled before his face, just barely touching his lips. Unblinking eyes, the brutal green of Caliban's forests, stared dead ahead. He remembered words spoken in this chamber a year ago, when Tuchulcha had been delivered up to him, and it seemed the Thrama's crusade and curse would both come to an end. Not so long ago, but a lifetime of experience. He had thought Gilliman on the verge of treachery, attempting to set himself up as a rival to the Emperor. The Lion had chosen then that it would be better for the Imperium to perish than another to reign in the stead of his father. War unending, that had been his silent vow. So righteous, to believe that he and his legion could have been the crux of the conflict engulfing the whole galaxy. Times changed so swiftly.
"There will be no new emperor," he had vowed.
How vain those words seemed now. He had thought to destroy Imperium Secundus, but would never have thought that his participation would be the means. It gnawed at him to think that perhaps he had handed victory to Horus. Had he not been blinded by his desire to capture Kurz, would he have been able to save Sanguinius from the fate he had foreseen?
"Does any of it matter?" he asked.
A diminutive figure stepped out of the darkness of the throne chamber. A child's height, it wore an ebon robe, its hands concealed with gloves as black as the shadows. A hood concealed its face, but underneath the mantle, two eyes burned like embers.
"Still time," the Lion frowned. "Time for what? Imperium Secundus cannot be saved. I have broken the Triumvirate as surely as Gilliman broke my sword. It may not have been perfect, but there was a balance between the three of us. The two of them will tug upon the reign of power, negating the other. I cannot defeat Horus alone, and they cannot defeat him without me."
The Watcher in the Dark said nothing, but the Lion heard its meaning as clearly as any spoken word.
"Caliban! I thought it lost. Perhaps you are right. If Terra has fallen and Macragg will fail, Caliban might stand, even if only as a light in the darkness for a while. There is strength there. It might even become a beacon, a refuge, as Macragg was during the Great Crusade, as Terra was during Old Night. Humanity has survived worse disaster than the War Master's Rebellion. Neither Horus nor Gilliman will command me. I will honor Caliban, as perhaps I have not in the past. There is still time to save my legion, my home."
Resolved to a new course of action, the Lion activated the Voxlink. When he glanced down again, the Watcher had disappeared.